like, I really don't like speaking like this, so please excuse me if I kind of mumble my way through this, but I did think it, I felt like I needed to say something, just because I'm going, and I guess I just wanted you to know how much kind of meant to me. Just hearing that passage read about Philip running alongside the carriage, I feel like you guys ran alongside me at just the right time to allow me to work through some things. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big fan of testimonies per se, and some stories in general, just because I feel like to a certain extent they're, like, I shouldn't really be giving a testimony about myself, in that other people would probably be better suited to talk about what the transformation that I guess has gone on in my life since I became a Christian, or before that as well. And because it's quite subjective what we think of our own experiences, and I don't think we are often the best people to be able to give an objective analysis of that. Plus, I think they tend to have similar arcs, which is that my life was kind of going on like this, and then I met God, and then you know, everything was great. And I don't feel that way at all about my life. I feel like it's very much still stuck in the mud and the mire, so to speak. It's still very much a work in progress. And so I think trying to give an overview of it up to now is really difficult for me to do. So I think I'll hold off on that part of it and kind of just give you a little reflection on how I feel now, because I think I'm allowed to be personal about those things, you know, because no one else really knows that. So if you want to hear about the rest of my life, go talk to my wife or my family or somebody who can give you more clarity in it. So how I feel now is very grateful, actually. I feel very thankful. I was reflecting, you know, over the last few days on this, on my experience here the last couple of years. And yeah, and just the overarching feeling is that sense of gratitude. I think what I appreciate so much is not just, you know, the sermons and the soups, but also, you know, the silence and the sharing and the space, actually, that you provide here is so healing, I think. You know, it's got a really power, it's got a real power to it. I came in here when I'd kind of almost given up, actually, on finding a church that I thought kind of, I guess, suited the direction I was headed. And so I was feeling quite lonely, I think, before I came here. And I was a bit, not down, so to speak, but I was a bit thinking that, you know, maybe it wasn't the right time for me to be part of a church, basically. And then I found you guys, and my perspective shifted, because I realized, I think, that church wasn't necessarily just supposed to be kind of, I guess, a consumer space. I really love the togetherness, the contribution that everyone makes here. But more than that, it was a sense of, yeah, space. I don't know, space and time, I guess, is the best way that I can use to describe it. I think where I was at was very much an unpacking stage. I feel like in my life up till now, up till a few years ago, really, I was kind of, you know, it's like you got a backpack and you're filling it up with all these things that you're told when you're a kid, or that you're told in church, or that you read about, and I got to the point where I started thinking, well, maybe that's not the best way to approach things. So I kind of, you know, have to take things out and look at them in a new light and with a different perspective. And so what I've been doing, I think, over the last few years is trying to really unpack my faith in a way that allowed me to see it for what it really was, and allowed me to kind of face the reality of some of the assumptions that I believed about Christianity, about life, about myself. And so what I've found so profound about this experience is that I've had the time to do that. And for me, I think that was lacking before. And what it's allowed me to do is actually look at some of them quite specifically. And, I mean, for example, the question of identity keeps coming up for me time and time again in my life. I was, I was born in the UK and then I moved to India. Now I'm in Australia. I've spent a lot of my time in different places and feeling different things about who I was. Even just a simple question like, where are you from? For me, has quite a complex answer. I don't actually, catch me on one day, I might be from one place, and another day, I might be from another. And so what I've realized, and that need to associate with something, though, has been something that's quite difficult for me. And I think why a certain type of Christianity appealed to me for a long time was that it gave you a sense of this is what you think about things and this is who you are. So it was very much, this is what we believe, X, Y, and Z. And I think that through my parents and things like that. And it was very divisive. It was very, dualistic to a certain speaker. It was very, you're good or you're bad. You know, you're in or you're out. You're right or you're wrong. You know, everything seemed to be quite black and white. And a lot of those things, I think, gave me a sense of identity initially because I was able to stake my claim and say, this is who I am. This is what I believe. These are the things that I think are right. These are the things that I think are wrong. And so that sense gave me a sense of who I was. And so what I've been kind of trying to do in terms of unpacking that is realize that it's not in either of those kind of specific identities that we find out who we are. Those aren't the things that make us who we are. That's not the thing that makes me who I am. Whether I'm from India, whether I'm from England, whether I'm Western or Eastern, whether I'm good or bad, that's not what defines me. And so what I've been trying to do in the last few years is to kind of, and what I've been interested in is the space in between. That kind of that middle gray area, which is, I think, very much where I sit, both literally in terms of my black and white kind of background, but also in terms of what I think is a kind of a safer space to be for me and my identity going forward. And that is being able to sit with those areas in between good and bad. There areas in between right and wrong, the kind of the darkness, the confusion, the ambiguity, the mystery. And I think that's what I've been able to develop here, that sense of actually sitting in a space that I don't have control over, sitting in a space that I don't feel has an answer even. It's something that I think it's a difficult space, and it's a space that we need support in. But I think it's also a space that God dwells in. I think it's an area that when we come and meet God, it's not often in the very distinct areas that we think we're going to find him. Those are just our views of him. Those are our ideas of him that we've built up, through our lives, I guess, and through what we hear and what we read and what we're told up here and in churches and things like that. So. And going on from that, I think in looking kind of deeper at a deeper level of why we do that, it does seem to be a level of fear that drives us to do that. For me, it was a fear of actually not being someone or something, not having something to identify with. Was probably a fear that drove that need for those areas. I think we feel safe and comfortable in finding clear answers to things, and that gives us a feeling of confidence and comfort and alleviates our fears to a certain extent, but it also shows us the underlying fears beneath it all, which is actually the fear of the unknown. I think the fear of potentially losing our faith, the fear of being wrong, the fear of, oh, I've spent so much of my life thinking one thing, and now I think something else. You know, that really cuts to the core of who we are, of our identities. And I think that's very much a stage that I'm kind of in and going through and trying to navigate. And so it's that fear, I think, for me, that I've had to face to a certain extent. But in tonight's, you know, passage, the one thing that, you know, we've heard it a lot, but really stands out is that perfect love banishes, he said, fear. And that's the interesting thing for me, because, you know, we've, you know, you hear so much about love, you read so much about it, you know, must have heard so many sermons about it, but that hearing about it doesn't transform you, because we still have all these fears. Even after hearing all these things, even after reading books and reading the Bible so many times on the same passage, you know, we hear about love, we read it again and again. But where does that transformative experience come from that actually drives out fear, that banishes fear? And I guess what I'm interested in now and what I'm learning is that the love of God does that. It's the love of God that actually banishes fear from our lives. It's not facing fears so much as it is resting in God and abiding in God. And so for me, that's why I'm so interested in kind of meditation and contemplation, because it allows us to, you know, drop down from our head, from the intellectualizing of everything, the analyzing of everything, into our heart space, which allows us, I think, is where we rest with God, where we abide with God. And in abiding with God, we allow his love to fill us that can actually penetrate through our fears, and it can actually immerse ourselves in our lives. And I think for me, that's what's interesting. It's not because that doesn't segregate, it doesn't separate, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't create these dualistic patterns. It creates a very holistic, inside-out faith that drives out our need to find, you know, identity in different things. It drives out our fears. And if we allow it to, that is, if we sit with God long enough, pass through the kind of the uncomfortable need to keep going back and analyzing what's happening to us, then I think that's where transformation happens. That's where change happens. That's where we can start to see the results of and the fruit of our lives. And so that, tying it back into that passage where, you know, Jesus says, "I am the vine." It's the idea of then. That's what made Jesus so wonderful, is that he realized that in abiding in his Father, it gave him the ability to face anything in life, face death, and it gave him the ability to humble himself completely. So he rid himself of his ego, of his pride, of his false self, which we, you know, hold on to, we cling to, you know, this ego of who we are, and that ability, and the fact that he knew who he was in God, gave him the ability to face anything in life. And so I think that abiding in God, that resting in God, and God's love really allows us to make the most of our lives now and here. And so I think for me going forward now, I feel kind of at a stage where, I'm in a transition. I'm going to try and find a new kind of career path. We're moving interstate, and, you know, marriage isn't easy. And, you know, I've got these things kind of rumbling around in my life, and I think what I'm trying to do is allow that resting in God to penetrate the areas of my life that the Spirit might work through and lead me into a fruitful life, one that's not held on to by pride and ego. And so I think, you know, somewhere in this space there's a death, there's this idea of dying to self, which is a very scary prospect, but I think it's an essential part of being able to rest in God. And that gives us a life of humility, a life of love, a life of truth and wisdom and faith, which I think we all aspire to. So, is that the right amount of time? yeah, we keep going. yeah. Just stretch it out or cut it off. Which one? so I think, I guess that's what I wanted to say. So if there's prayers, I guess my prayer for you, and I hope your prayer for me, is that going forward we might, together in different places, be able to abide in that love, to rest in that love, to be transformed by that love, and not be held on to our own selves, our own idea of self. And that, I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the vine. And it's that he is the one that we must be in, and not doing this life for ourselves.